Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Give me a moment here, Brother Thompson. Will you pick up that light? Let the church say amen once again.
Amen.
We say amen because God is good. And all the time God is good. This morning, my scriptures are going to be read here from the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, starting with verse number 31. Verse number 31 reads, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me, before you will, that you know me." And verse number, that was 31 through 34 of Luke 22. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning, and it's a little confusing to me sometimes, so bear with me. This morning, we're going to talk about Satan wants to sift us. Satan wants to sift us. Let us go to God in prayer before we go any further. O Lord, our God, our Father, which art in heaven, blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed are your ways, O Lord. And thank you, Father, for delivering us unto this day and delivering us to the household of faith. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may have this opportunity to the tree of life. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this new day that you have given us, a day in which we've never seen before and a day unlike we shall ever see again. We thank you, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the one that went to Calvary's cross, that we might have the right, as I said, from the tree of life to the tree of life. We thank you, Father, for everything you do for us as we come on this morning to praise and worship thee in spirit and in truth. We're so ever thankful, Lord, and we pray for those who are here. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, as well as their families. We pray for all families who are here, gathered here this morning, under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Lord. Father, when we look at the overall picture of the world today, we know that we need you more than ever, Lord. We need you to guide us and to keep us on a straight and narrow path. And we thank you, Father, for doing just that. We pray for the sick and the shut-in. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you be with us throughout these services and throughout the day. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you and pray for our politicians, O Heavenly Father. We thank you that they might serve us well and not make any laws that would harm our worship services to you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you now to go with this congregation as we try to bring a light into a darkened world. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for all of the parents who are raising their children. We pray that they raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who still might be on their way that they might get here safely and securely. We pray and ask all these blessings in the name of the one who went to Calvary's cross. Let us all say amen. In those few scriptures that I've read for you this morning, we have the biblical account of a one-on-one conversation between Jesus and Peter. Jesus explained to Peter how that Satan wanted to sift him. For those who may not know what a sifter is, it's a kitchen utensil. It's used by cooks to use to separate the desirable from the undesirable, or the good ingredients from the bad ingredients, if you will. In this case, Satan wanted to separate Peter from Jesus. And yes, Satan is still busy today attempting to separate us from God and his word. He even gets into the church house and separate the believers from the word of God, and tries to separate the believers from the word of God. But when we allow Jesus to take charge of our lives, Satan's sifting attempts should make us better, stronger, and not against the word of God. So, we know that Jesus had this conversation with Peter, telling him that Satan wanted to sift him. So, let us find out a little bit about Peter, if you will. I know most of you already know who Peter is. Peter is probably the most vocal of the disciples. We know him from God's word as probably that most vocal one. He spoke up on behalf of Jesus. He was one of the ones who spoke up on the day of Pentecost. He was the one of whom Jesus heard the answer when he was seeking the answer to the question of his identity. Peter answered and said unto him in Matthew 16:16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was the one of whom Christ gave the keys to the kingdom of in verse 19 of Matthew 16, along with the power to bind and loose things in heaven and on earth. It's no wonder that Satan wanted Peter. But Peter, like so many of us today, had problems. He had problems in Matthew 14:28. His faith was not as strong as he thought it was, or he thought he could walk on the water. When Jesus called him thou of little faith, in other words, Peter, I told you to come to me, but apparently Peter's faith was not strong enough to trust in God. How many folk have you heard or met who talk about trusting in God, yet when the rubber meets the road, they back down? We should have enough faith and trust in God at his word. Stop asking God to do something for you and then try to handle it on your own. If you take it to him, leave it with him. Don't be like Peter, who even had the nerve to rebuke Jesus about his own death in Matthew 16:22, where the Bible says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you." This was in response to Jesus telling him of his upcoming sufferings. No matter how bold we become, we have not the right or privilege to rebuke God. Don't ever try to rebuke God. You have not that privilege nor that right. Jesus told Peter that Satan desired to sift him. Make no mistake about it. Satan knows what our weaknesses are. That's what he counts on. He went to work on Peter. But let us notice how that Satan worked his plan. In verse number 54 of Luke 22, he saw Peter as he followed Jesus, but he was following him afar off. When we hang out from Jesus, we are noticed even more so by Satan. In Luke 22 and 55, he saw Peter warming himself by the wrong fire and with the wrong crowd. We need to be careful where we are and whom we hang out with. That's for us as Christians. We must be careful because we may be spotted by all the wrong people. Peter, of whom we don't want to associate, or with people of whom we don't want to associate with. In verse 56 of Luke 22, that's where Peter was. Look at verse 56 of chapter 22, verse 56. The Bible says, "And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.'" When you are hanging out with the wrong crowd, somebody is going to take notice of you. That's why our church folk have no right to be hanging out with the Saturday night crowd. When you hang out with the Saturday night crowd, you can look for trouble on Sunday morning sometimes. We must be careful because when we are spotted by all the wrong people, they come up with all the wrong ideas. When we hang with the wrong crowd, it might cause us to lie and say things we would not normally say or do. Peter began to deny Jesus in verse 57 through 60. We become in danger of denying the Lord. And I tell you, it is a sad commentary in the life of a believer when we have to say we don't know Jesus. After all of what he has done for us, and we say we don't know him, so the question becomes, what causes one to deny Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, it's caused by Satan, none other than Satan himself. He'll make you see greener grass on the other side of the fence. Then you leave that side of the fence only to find out the grass looks even greener back where you just came from. Do you remember in Luke 15, the very familiar story of the prodigal son? I know you remember that story because everybody has heard or read of that story, every Christian at least, anyway. He chose the open road as opposed to staying at home. Until all he had was gone when he went out on the open road, and then home began to look good again to him. So he came to his father and asked him if he could come home, and his father, well, you know the story. His father showed compassion to him and accepted him back. This is what Jesus does for us. He has compassion on us, and he gives us his love, offers his safety and protection from all hurt, harm, or danger. This is what Jesus was willing to do for Peter. He told Peter in verse number 32 of Luke 22, he said, "I have prayed for thee that thou faith fails not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." When we become strong enough, we are to help others. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Satan took Peter to his bottom to the bottom of his life cycle, caused him to deny Jesus and to lie about even knowing him, caused him to swear and to curse. Oh, and I know some Christian folk that do that quite well. In Mark's version in Mark 14 of this same incident, he said that he caused him to curse. So I pose this question to Christians everywhere. If the fire gets too hot, would you deny him, or would you continue to hang on to your beliefs in God and tell others that you know him, or would you say, I don't know him? You know, when you say you don't know him, that to me says you are denying him, you are denying how good God has been to us. You know, God has really been good to us. God has been so good to us. He caused us to wake up this morning. You didn't wake up on your own, and I say this quite frequently. And some of you I know woke up thinking it was 6 o'clock when it was really 7 o'clock. And some of us, we forgot to set our clocks up. But you know the old saying, spring, fall ahead, winter, fall back. Fall back, I should say. But no doubt that some of us forgot to set our clocks. When you consider how that Satan wanted to sift Peter, imagine what he wants to do to us. Peter walked with the Master. Peter talked with the Master. Peter even were given the keys to the kingdom by the Master. But yet, he denied him. Now, Peter should have been a stronger Christian than that. So if he wanted to sift Peter, guess what he wants to do to us? He wants to sift us, because some of us may not be as strong as Peter should have been. Satan has the desire to sift us, but the question is, how can I get away from Satan? Well, I can resist him, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes, church. God can cause Satan to leave us alone. But then, Peter was found to be in this weakened state. Now that Jesus had been arrested and put on trial, Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire, if you will. Jesus had already warned him that Satan wanted desire and wanted to sift him in verse number 31. So in verse number 61, he remembered the words of the Lord. And in verse number 62, guess what he did? He wept. He wept bitterly, the Bible says. His tears flowed because of his denial of the Master and his lie that he didn't know him. After Jesus was resurrected from his tomb in Mark 16, in verse number 7, the Bible says Jesus sent for the disciples and Peter. He sent for them to come to Galilee to see him. Now, I don't believe Jesus sent for Peter to put Peter down, nor to drive him away, but I believe he sent for him to lift him up. Isn't that the kind of encouragement a fallen person needs today? Instead of putting a down person down further than one already is, give him encouragement. Show love toward him. You know, and long as I'm visiting the word love, I just want to make a comment about love. We need to love a little bit more. We need to stretch that love out that we have one for another. We need to consider that all of us need love. And I'm talking about spiritual love right now. That's the only kind of love I'm speaking of right now. I'm speaking of the kind of love that would encourage another one to follow Jesus and to follow you. I'm speaking of the kind of love that puts one on an even keel with the Master. I'm speaking of the kind of love that puts us into God and gives us the right feeling about God and gives us, strengthens our faith. Here we have Peter, a fallen disciple whom Jesus used to further his message on earth. We find him preaching the gospel in Acts 2:14 on the day of Pentecost. Not only did he preach Jesus, but his preaching caused many a heart to be pricked. In verse number 37, how many you may ask? According to Acts 2:41, about 3,000 souls. I say this to let you know, even though Satan may want to use us, God has a better plan for us if we allow him to use us instead of letting Satan use us. When Satan comes after us, our faith, our first line of defense is to do what Jesus did for Peter. Pray that your faith fail not. In other words, hold on to your faith and thereby saving yourself from the clutches of Satan. Now I like what it says in verse number 61 again. In verse number 61, the Bible, y'all excuse me, I got a new Bible here and I'm having trouble with my pages here. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter then went out and wept bitterly. Now, some of us need to remember the words of Jesus. Some of us need to remember that Jesus has told us many things that are going to happen to us in life. He has told us what to expect in life. And one of the things he told us to expect is persecution. They persecuted me, he said, so they will persecute you. You know, and persecution comes in all different forms. Sometimes it comes from home, sometimes it comes from work, sometimes it comes from the streets. But you can be persecuted and not understand why, but you should understand the word of God that told us we were going to be persecuted. So Peter denied Christ. But then he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly because he had denied Jesus. And remember what the text says starting in verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. How many times have you recalled the words of Jesus and it may have brought a tear to your eyes? How many times have you thought about what Jesus says unto us throughout his words, how that different things would happen and different things would take place, and yet some of us still refuse to believe in God. Some of us refuse to trust in God. Some of us refuse to hear the word of God. And when we go back to Matthew 16:18, we remember where the church of Christ, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How many times have you went by the church house, but you didn't come in the church house? How many Sunday mornings have you gotten up, but you still didn't get up and get dressed and come out to church? How many times have you denied the Lord God to give him his dues on a Sunday morning? Because you always find something that's more important to do, so you say. So I say to you this morning, don't be like Peter and allow the devil to sift you. There's a way out, and that way is through prayer and through Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. of Jesus Christ, our Master and God, our Heavenly Father. So when I think about all the things and all the ways that the Master has been good to us, I ask you a question this morning. I ask you this question. How will you react standing around the fire? The fires of life I speak of right now. Will you deny Him, or will you say that you know Him and trust in Him? Will you do your best to tell somebody else about Him, or will you say, I don't know Him? You know, when we do our daily routine on Monday through Saturday, we've got, most of us have one attitude. And on Sunday, some of us get a different attitude. We get an attitude of, I'm so glad to be at church this Sunday. I've been bad all week, but now I'm going to get holy today because today is Sunday. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular here now, so don't go saying he must be talking to me. If I'm talking to you, it's because you can feel the sting of the Word of God. Not my sting, but the Word of God's sting. And when I consider that maybe, just maybe, sometimes I wonder, and I have to question myself as well. I wonder sometimes if the fire gets as hot as it must have been around Peter standing there, what would you do? Or what would you say? Or how would you react? And I can just see that fire going now, and that little maid, that young lady that walked up and said, he was with him. I know him. I saw him. He was with him. To us today, that means that I'm a church-going person. And I saw you at church. And then I deny that I know him because I wasn't the one at church. Well, consider, if you will, that coming to church on a Sunday morning is what is our Christian duty. It's part of our Christian service to come to church on Sunday morning. To come to church on Sunday morning and to serve God in spirit and in truth. To come to church on Sunday morning and to know him and to know your brothers and sisters. I got a couple of minutes, so I'm going to explain a couple of things here for you this morning. Thank you, sir. When you get to church on Sunday morning, now first of all, leave the baggage outside the door. Come in to serve God in spirit and in truth. Come in without all the baggage. Come in, leave your troubles on the outside of the door. Now when you open the door, when somebody opened the door and came in, Satan walked in with them or right next to them. However you look at it, Satan gets busy in the church house with folk too. He will try his best to separate you from your thoughts and your beliefs in God. He will try his best to make you deny the Lord, our Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. He will try his best to separate you from God's love and God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You see, God knows everything. He knows all about you before you got here to church Sunday morning. He knows if you came to serve him in spirit and truth, or you just came because somebody forced you to come. If you're a child, maybe your mother forced you to come. If you're an adult, maybe somebody was pressuring you to come. I know for a fact that somebody this morning may have decided to come to church, but for some unknown reason decided at the last minute, I guess I'm not going to go after all. Well, when you consider that God, how good God has been to you, he woke you up this morning. He got you on your way. He gave you a food to eat for breakfast. He gave you, and especially last night, he gave you a warm roof over your head. And can't you come and serve him just for a little while? Now, I try to be very short on Sunday mornings in comparison to some people. So I try to get you in and out of here on time, in a good, decent, timely hour, in a good, decent, timely manner. But for some folk, I'm too long. I'm too long because if you're up there more than 10 minutes, you're too long. And then we have those folk who like to come in. Oh, I may as well say it now. We got the 11 o'clock Christians. Some folk who like to come in just when the preacher is in the middle of his message. And they hunt you and ask you, what is he talking about? Oh, yeah, I'm just going to break it down here for you now. I got a few minutes. And then they disturb the neighbors next to him asking, what is he talking about this month? Well, you should have been here. Brother Jackson teaches his Bible class lesson on Sunday morning, and when I walk in the door, he's already talking. And when he's talking and explaining and reading the Bible school lesson on Sunday morning, he says some of the same things that I'm going to say when I stand up on later on Sunday morning. So you get a double dose of it. But if you miss his message, his Sunday morning Bible lesson, then you catch mine. But if you come late to mine, oh yeah, and I call it mine because it's my time to deliver the message. If you come later, you miss what I'm talking about. And if you miss what I'm talking about, then you don't know what's going on. Then you got to ask somebody about it, and then sometimes somebody doesn't want to be disturbed by you. So you cause that person to get upset. I can't even come to church at a decent hour. You may push them away, as a matter of fact. That's the 11 o'clock Christian. The 11 o'clock Christian now sometimes is the 11:30 Christian. I'll get there just in time when Brother Carter is halfway through his message. I won't know what he's talking about, but I'm still going to be there. They can't say that I didn't show up. But oh yes, Peter decided to go in the opposite direction. Let me get back on course here. Peter decided that he was going to go in the wrong manner. He denied Christ. He denied him, Brother Thompson. He was standing by that warm fire, and no doubt the night air must have been kind of chilly. And so they had this fire going. And they wasn't roasting marshmallows either. They had this fire going, and Peter stood there by the warm fire. And somebody said, he was with him. He knows him. And Peter looked at him and said, no, I don't know him. And how many times as a Christian have you wanted to say, I'm not a part of that crowd? Oh, I used to go to that church over there, but I don't go there no more. They got on my nerve. Don't let anybody drive you away from the church. Let them get on your nerves and your nerves get frayed, but they'll wind themselves back together. Don't deny Jesus Christ. Don't deny our Master and our Savior. He's done too much for us. If you want to deny somebody, deny yourself some of your pleasures and some of your fun and get on to church on Sunday morning. That's what I say. And I've told you this story many a time, but I'm going to tell it again. I guess I want to hear it again. There was a time when I wouldn't even go near the church door. I wouldn't go near the church house. I'd drive by and see people standing out there. I'd blow at them and wave because some of them would wave at me, but I didn't go. And then one Sunday morning, my youngest son rose up and he said, why do I have to go when he doesn't go? And that made me begin to think, if he can go and he's a child, why can't I go as an adult and I'm supposed to be giving him a lesson in growing up the proper way. So I decided it was time for me to go back to church. No more running from the preacher when he came to the house. The preacher come in the front door, Brother Carter go out the back door. No more running from the preacher. No more denying the fact that I'm pretending that Jesus really doesn't exist. I didn't deny him in the sense that Peter denied him, but when you fail to come to worship service, you may as well deny him because you're denying you should ought to be in his service. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying get it together. I'm saying get it right. You only have one opportunity to get it right. If you don't get it right now, when you are laid out here in a coffin, you can't get it right. It's too late to get it right then. You need to get it right while you yet live. And somebody may say, well, as a child I grew up and my grandmother used to take me to church all the time with her. Well, what happened? Why did you stop? Obviously something got in your way. You need to figure out what got in your way and move that out of your way and come back to church. And sometimes when the temperature is 85 or 90 degrees, I know what some of you say, I can be doing something else. I can cut my grass. I can wash my car. I can do anything but go to church. But didn't I tell you just a little while ago that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom? Whatsoever he loosed in heaven would be loosed on, and whatever he loosed on earth and in heaven would be bound in heaven. Whatever he binds on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever he loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. But yet, with all of his knowledge and all of him walking with the master, he still forgot the master. Or he denied the master. He tried to forget him, but he denied the master. So no more coming to church at 11:30. No more 11 o'clock Christian. Become a 10 o'clock Christian instead of an 11:30 Christian. Become a Christian who will be there at church when the morning services start. And you get... Let me count this off here for a minute. You get 6 days. Hear me now. 6 days to do whatever you will or whatever you want to or whatever your choosing may be. And then on the first day of the week, that seventh day, you need to come to church. These benches should be full. And I won't say that they should be full because of me, but I'll say that they should be full because of whoever is standing in the pulpit. They should be full because you're not worshiping me or whoever is standing in the pulpit. You're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And no matter how we say it, whoever is standing there in the pulpit, if he's speaking the truth, you ought to hear him if he's speaking the word of God. Now, I won't satisfy everybody in my preaching. I won't satisfy a lot of people in my preaching. But if I'm speaking the words of truth, you ought to hear them. So how do I become a part of this great organization, the Church of Christ? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Oh, yes, I know it's cold, but Brother Jackson is willing and ready and able to baptize you this morning. The water might be just slightly chilly, but your heart should get warmed from it. But if you are already taking those steps and you need to come back to the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask the church to pray for and with you, that you may grow stronger and be able to resist whatever caused you to do whatever it was that you are repentant for. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.